scripture reading this morning is from Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7. It's found on page 60 and 61 of your pew Bibles. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people found fault with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you find fault with me? Why do you put the Lord to the proof?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the rod with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water shall come out of it, and the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the fault-finding of the children of Israel, and because they put the Lord to the proof by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?"
Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Christ Jesus, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Is the Lord with us or not? That's what the Israelites are asking in our story this morning. They are deep in the wilderness of sin, so we can understand their angst. After all, the desert and the wilderness, as it is called, was not a very congenial place. The desert was a place which was desolate and sparse, a place where survival was called into question. And so the Israelites are deep in the wilderness, they are deep in the desert, and they want to know if God is with them, is God among them. Not only are they deep in the wilderness, but they are at a place called Rephidim. No one knows exactly where Rephidim was located, but wherever it was a place that had no water. The creeks had all dried up, and this is where the Israelites are at. They are at Rephidim. And they recognize that without water, there is no life. There is no survival. And so the people are anxious, they are fearful, they are scared, and they want to know, is the Lord among us? Is the Lord with us? Does the Lord care about us? In one sense, it is a good question. One that we've probably asked from time to time. But in another sense, it is a very problematic question, because the Lord has been with them from the very beginning. It was the Lord who liberated them from slavery in Egypt. It was the Lord who rescued them from the Egyptian army at the Sea of Reeds. It was the Lord who rained bread from heaven and gave them quail to eat when they were hungry. And it was the Lord who has been guiding and directing them every step of the way, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But that was yesterday. Today is today, and today they are without water. Today they are afraid, they are scared, and they're asking, is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord with us? There are several things that jumped out at me as I was studying this text this week. One is the people themselves, the people of God, the people of Israel. The people not only blame Moses for their predicament at Rephidim, but they deliberately accuse Moses of trying to kill them. Why, Moses, have you taken us out here in the wilderness? Why have you caused us to leave Egypt, where at least we knew we had something to eat and something to drink? Why have you led us out here in the wilderness to kill us? To kill us and our children and our animals. It's not the first time, of course, that Moses has been accused of trying to kill the people. Earlier in the book of Exodus, when Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go," and Pharaoh responds by increasing the workload of the Israelites, but by not providing them any more straw, the people come to Moses and Aaron and ask, "Why? Why have you done this? Why have you diminished us in the eyes of Pharaoh? Why have you come to allow Pharaoh to kill us?" But now they are accusing Moses again. Why are you trying to kill us? Moses is fearful for his life, but he also recognizes that this is not about him, but this is about God. The people are testing and quarreling with God. Have you ever yourself quarreled with God? Have you ever expected God to provide something for you, or expected God to do something for you, only to find that you are left wanting? Maybe it was some illness and you were expecting healing. Maybe it was some financial need that you hoped that God would help you with, and you discovered that maybe God is not there in the way you thought that God should be there. And so you've wondered deep down in your heart, is God with me or not? Where is God when I need him? And so we are told that the people quarrel with Moses, but they're actually quarreling with God. The English text says, uses the word quarrel, but the actual Hebrew word means to lodge a legal complaint, and that is what the people are doing. They are lodging a legal complaint against God. They are suing God, bringing up charges of God to God, accusing God of abandoning them and neglecting them. Where is God here in the wilderness? Moses, you promised that God would be present with us. You promised that God would go with us. But now here we are deep in the wilderness and we need water, and God is nowhere to be found. Is God among us or not? And so they are actually suing God. A few years back, there was a state senator in Nebraska who actually sued God. He actually brought charges up against God in the court of law, accusing God of sending pestilence and earthquakes and natural disasters which caused people to suffer. It was a stunt, of course, highlighting the prevalence of frivolous lawsuits in the state, but it got people's attention that someone would actually sue God. But here in our text this morning, it is no stunt. The people are scared, they are frightened, they are uncertain about the future, and so they quarrel with God and they bring charges against God. Moses, of course, brings to God's attention the people's dissatisfaction. And what I find intriguing about this story is that God does not get angry with the people like I would have gotten angry. I would have said something like, "Who do you think you are bringing charges against me? Who do you think you are blaming me? Who do you think you are quarreling with me? Out of all the things I've done for you, out of all the ways I've brought you through the desert, who do you think you are bringing charges against me?" But that's not what God says. God seems to realize at this critical juncture that the people need to be reassured. They need to know that God is with them. They need to know that God is present. They need to know that God is for them. And so instead of God being critical with the people here, God endeavors to show them that God is indeed with them. God commands Moses to take some of the elders and go to the rock at Horeb. And God says, "There I will be. I will be standing before you. Go to the rock of Horeb and you will see that I am indeed with you and among you." It might be interesting this morning to wonder what we might have done in that situation. We might be tempted to dismiss the Israelites as perpetual whiners, people who are forgetful of all the ways that God has sustained them in the past. But to dismiss them so readily would be a mistake, because their story is also our story. We too have spent time in the wilderness, our own individual wilderness, our own collective wilderness. We have spent time in those sparse and desolate places where the future has been uncertain. Time waiting for God, looking for God, wondering if God is indeed with us. God, are you with us in this particular moment as we journey in our wilderness? Are you with us? Of course, you know as well as I do that when we are in those particular places, sometimes God's response to us is not nearly as dramatic as the response that God makes to the people of Israel at Horeb. Sometimes we don't experience the equivalent of a miraculous gush of water. Instead, what we are often met with is silence. That doesn't mean that God is not with us. Sometimes, indeed, God is in the silence. But we still want to know. We still want proof. God, are you with us? Are you among us? Are you with me here in the hospital during this illness? Are you with me in the midst of this messy divorce? Are you with me in this recession, in this period of unemployment? God, are you really with us? Are you really with me? Are you here? Do you care for me? Do you care for us? It's interesting, And we should keep this in mind when we read the Exodus narratives, that God is not only present with the people, but it is God who has been leading and guiding them every step of the way, whether they realize it or not. God is not only present, but God is the one who has led them in the wilderness. God is the one who has taken them to Rephidim. The same God who gives them water is also the same God who leads them to these parched and desolate places. Why in the world would God do that? Why in the world would God lead his people to the wilderness? Why in the world would God lead his people to a place where there is no water? Why in the world would God do that? But sometimes it's those very places where the circumstances would seem to suggest that God is most absent that are the very places where we come to learn to put our faith and trust in God. Sometimes God leads us to the wilderness places so that we will learn what it means to trust him and to rely on him and him alone. The Israelites would spend 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years. 40 years in a sparse and desolate place where they would ask themselves again and again, Lord, are you among us? Is God really with us? Is God with us here today? Sometimes they convinced themselves that God was not present with them and they made their own gods. Other times they had to be helped to see the God who was with them and present in their midst. And sometimes we need help with that as well. We need to be reminded that God is with us. Not just when things are going well, not just when the future looks rosy, when the bills are all paid, when the income stream is strong, when everything is going well and we're living high on the hog, but God is with us in those moments of uncertainty, when the future is not so clear, when survival is called into question. We're not sure whether we can make it or not. We're reminded that God is especially with us during those moments, asking us to put our faith and trust in him and to learn what it means to live as his people. There's a lot in this story that we are not told. A lot in this story I'd like to hear more about. The narrator doesn't tell us about how the Israelites make a mad frenzy for the water that gushes up out of the rock. It had to be a great deal of water in order to quench the great thirst of the people. It must have been a great scene, but the narrator doesn't tell us any of that. Neither do we know if any of the people there actually caught a glimpse of God standing at the rock of Mount Horeb. The text tells us that God was there. God was before him as God had always been, as God had been in the cliffs, as God had been before them all alone. God was there. But we're not sure if any of the people actually caught a glimpse of God. Maybe they were too busy indulging themselves with the refreshment of the fountain of water to recognize the God who was standing right before them. But the narrator does take the time to tell us the name of the place where the water gushes forth. And the people don't name it the Fount of Abundance. They don't name it the water of grace. They don't name it after the miracle at all. Instead, they name it after their struggles with God. They name the place testing and quarreling. They name it that because that's the place where the Israelites wondered, is God with us? That's the question that they would continue to ask themselves. That's the question that we too often ask ourselves. God, are you with us? And the answer comes back to us again and again that yes, indeed, God is with us, that God loves us, that God cares for us, not just when things are going well, but even in those dark, desolate places when we are afraid and scared and the future is uncertain. It's in those places especially where God says, I am with you and I will be with you even to the end of the world. Let us put our faith and trust in that God, knowing that God has sustained us in the past, that we are here today because of the grace and mercy of God, and knowing that whatever happens in the future, that our lives are in the hands of a loving God who goes with us and who is present with us and who loves us more than we can even begin to imagine. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we ask that you be with us this day. You know the concerns that we have lodged deep down inside of our hearts. You know the worries that keep us up at night. You know the fears that we have. Help us to put our faith and trust in you and to know that in the midst of all that we experience, that you are indeed the God of our lives, that you never leave us, that you are right there with us. Give us the eyes to see. Give us the ears to hear. Give us the heart to follow you in everything that we do. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.